Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words, sans Emily Burke, which is, you know, a sad thing for me, but a good thing because we have our first in-studio guest in a minute, Jason Camacho from the band Audio Karate. And typically speaking, like I usually say, we don't have artists on the show that frequently. I'd say about 5 to 10% of the time. It's mostly people behind the scenes, but I love this band. I've been listening to Audio Karate for quite some time. In addition to recently playing shows with the Descendants, they just announced that they're playing the Vandals holiday release show. Well, not release, just like holiday show. It's an annual holiday show. And I could tell you from experience that Josh Freese is the best live drummer I've ever seen when he played with Devo, and he's going to be playing with the Vandals, House of Blues Anaheim. I still haven't been to the new one. Anyway, Audio Karate just re-released an old record on Wiretap Records and put out their newest collection of songs in well over a decade. And I'm a huge fan of Rob and Wiretap Records, not only because he captures the spirit of a lot of like the late 90s, early 2000s Vagrant era bands, but he's just a good dude. He's a family man, and he was a good guest on the show, very insightful. And Stringer, the band that Mike Cubillos and I co-managed together, shout out to Mike Cubillos, is on Wiretap, put out their full-length My Bad on Wiretap. And just, I like supporting small labels that are doing things on their own terms. And it's just cool that maybe acquired is the wrong word, but they acquired Audio Karate. So respect to that. Respect to Jason for making the trek here. We just had a brief intro phone call pre this, and I got to know him in about 2 minutes, and it was great. So hopefully you'll all get to know him a little bit more. Next week, I mean, by the time this airs, it's already November, but it's currently early October. We've got Tim Dove coming into the studio, and he works for Ernie Ball. And we also have a phone interview with Majin Bruto Messo that I'm recording. So two for the price of one next week that I'm recording. And then actually I'm flying to Hawaii with my wife and disconnecting. So by the time this airs, I'll be back from Hawaii. Sad. Definitely almost as sad as every show without Emily Burke. But again, digression, digression, which may or may not be a word. Every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, this show airs, rerunning every single Sunday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. You can go on iTunes podcast app, subscribe to everything. You can go on adobe.com, listen to every single show, and listen to all the other shows on this wonderful network. I'm very fortunate to have Waldman's Words. I'm very fortunate to be recording at a badass studio in North Hollywood, Burbank, whatever it is, North Burbank, Burbankwood, North Woodbanks. I think I should drink my coffee now. Stick around for Waldman's Words with Jason Camacho. Hello. So Jason's here, and despite being a few minutes late, he had some advice for me. So I really would love to hear that.
Yeah, so we need to compress these things or the microphones or something in post, because I've listened to a couple of podcasts at random sampling.
Ah!
You're a bit louder.
I know. It's a Napoleon complex type thing from I went through puberty super, super late, and you could tell I have a beard now, but like I was 5'4 when I graduated high school.
Oh, I can relate. I'm not a big guy.
Right, but like you might have become a man at an earlier age. I mean, I'm still struggling, so it's like
2 weeks of growth, bro. So
no, but maybe intellectually. I don't know. I digress. You told me he was going to fuck with me, so I started by like.
But that was it.
That's it.
That's all I have
You're
to,
a nice
to fuck
person.
With you about.
And you, and by the way, 6 minutes late in LA is on time.
Product of divorce, so don't blame me.
Oh wow, way to fucking go there. My dad died.
All fathers die at some point, but I do apologize.
God, well, I apologize for the divorce. And this will actually be the first time I put my headphones on and actually down and hug you before we interview.
All right, let's do it. Bro down.
That was a real hug.
You're solid.
Thank you. What do you mean by that? Like I'm not gaseous or plasma?
No, like you work out.
I've been trying because, dude.
It's working. You look good.
Oh, bless your heart. Jason knows the way to my heart, and that's through my body. But basically, I got married 2 years ago, and I don't know if you know this, but the day you get married, you just gain 10 pounds. You just do. It's just like, it's like weird. And so I've been trying to avoid the dad bod because I'm not one.
Any kids? You're not one.
I'm not, but I mean, all my clients are my children.
25 more pounds, dude, instantly for you.
The day I have child.
The day you find out you're going to have child.
I love how we're speaking like broken. Yeah. The day one out find child. I sound like I'm watching like a subtitled Russian movie right now. It's awesome. Like
Russian Yoda or something.
Use the force, Luke. Or
that's pretty good.
You want some vodka, Luke? See, that'd be like the Russian Yoda. Anyway, audio karate. We could talk about that later. Let's just give shout outs to two people first. I don't know how well you know Mike Cubillos. Do you know him, or you just know the name?
Haven't met him. I want to meet him because he's been doing some wonderful, wonderful things for us, and I can't thank him enough. So, Mike, if you hear this, thank you on behalf of the
whole
band.
He will hear this because bitchin'. I can tell you that, I mean, he's the reason why I know Rob and Wiretap, and so it's like this ladder of shame that you either climb down or climb up. But let's even give a shout-out to Mr. Rob, Family Man, Wiretap Records, Castellón.
Hi, Rob.
What's up?
That was pretty good. Do that again.
Castellón. I'm learning because I'm not a Espanol.
So it's Ayon.
Castellón.
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 There you go.
My Cubillos, I just learned, is that's the way to pronounce it.
The two L's is a Y.
Castellón. Exactly. Can you do the thing where you roll your tongue with the R?
I can. My last name's Camacho, dude. I better be able to. But I need...
But there's no R in Camacho.
There isn't. If I speak Spanish, I mean, relatively functionally well.
Un poquito?
I mean, that's like one of our only claims to fame is there was Phoenix TX.
Oh, man.
And then there was us. And we're kind of like, hey, if you're a Mexican punk, you know, pop punk kid, then...
Well, Pierce the Veil now.
Are they Mexican dudes?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like a Mexican boy screamo band. Like, it was the loudest show I've ever been to my entire life.
How Mexican is their singer? I mean, does he look...
His name is Vic Fuentes. I mean, they're definitely browner than I. Like, being... like
browner than I?
I on the same level. I mean, you got the opposite of a tan.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but no, I think they are actually, I mean, well, good. Skin tone, maybe not their inner tone.
I feel like Go Betty Go are the female functional equivalent of us, and we recently had them support us on a show, and it was kind of cool. I felt like, okay, you guys should totally be our cousins, or we could have gone to prom with
the
anyone.
Quinceañera tour?
Yeah, seriously. Like, we could have been your chamelans and your quinceañera or something.
The other word.
Quinceañera. Chamelan.
What's chamelan mean?
That's the guy.
I love how you're holding. He just moved his hands like that. A guy is like a knapsack with a trapper keeper.
You're just there to facilitate the quinceañera girl. I don't know what to call her. Just taking pictures and stuff like that. It's usually
a slave.
It's usually a cousin, or you're getting mad dogged by her entire family the entire time because they're looking at you like, hey, dude, hands above the waist, hands below the bust.
The song is The Wind Beneath My Wings, You Slow Dance.
We'll bury you in the backyard. They're probably cholos in some capacity or something like that.
I never really met many Mexican people because I'm from New York until I got here.
Okay.
And apparently, like, I've never met a higher populace of Mexicans and Persians. My wife's high school is 60% Persian, and obviously there's one or two Mexicans that I've met in Los Angeles. But Phoenix TX, I actually saw them first of three. It was them. It was Bad Religion.
And
it was Blink.
And
I mean, I liked Phoenix TX when they were River Phoenix, but I think that they're the reason why Drive Thru had legs, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so happy you brought them up. And Lechuza, is that how you pronounce Lechuza?
Lechuza.
See, I fucked up. I'm fucking up twice, but that album is so underrated. I actually saw Phoenix TX recently open for the Ataris. So I'm just, we don't talk about this enough because like the typical audience for Idobi is a little bit younger. And Phoenix TX, without Phoenix TX, state champs wouldn't be here, kids.
Who are state champs?
Thank you for saying that. They're, I guess, like the modern, like, flag holders of pop punk. They're really good. You might like them.
I'll
but
check
anyway,
them out.
You should. But this show is not about them. It's not about Wiretap, even though it indirectly is. It's not about Mike Cubillos, even though everything I do is about Mike Cubillos. It's
That's
about
good to know.
You, Jason Camacho. And is that, did I fuck that up too?
Beautifully pronounced.
Yes. So one for three. So these are good odds. So besides Go Betty Go, what got you into music? Because I know you're a guitar player, I believe, right?
I am.
And you're in a band with your brother. We can get into that. Or what?
Cousin.
Cousin, brother. Cousin. Cother.
We're all brothers in the bro sense. We're from L.A. We throw
I
around.
I mean, if bro. Adam and Eve are the first two people, we're all brothers.
Truly.
Truly, madly, deeply. Yes. You go.
So I came from a pretty music-heavy household. My dad was a cop by trade, but he had a drum set because he came from the 60s and was into Hendrix and Santana and stuff like that. So
respect.
So lots of kind of black, Hispanic, gangster oldies in the house. And then
what's a gangster oldie? Because I think of like N.W.A. when I think of gangster.
Oh, no. So if you were... you know, like a Hispanic or black gang member in the 50s, 60s, you listen to Motown and kind of more like Northern Soul type music, stuff like that.
I think of like, when I think of Soul, I think of like Otis Redding. And when I think of gangster, I think of N.W.A. Like, what do you mean by Northern Soul?
This is post. So Northern Soul would be like Northern England. There were a lot of groups that came out of England around that era that were emulating kind of what the Motown groups and some of that were doing. But back then, that music was just kind of co-opted by gang members. It was kind of a trip.
I'm and this doing is, some sign. I don't know what this is. This sign is like, I want coffee.
It might be.
In my Jutang clan, you know what I'm saying?
Can I laugh at that?
Yes, you're legally allowed to laugh. You just can't have a reciprocal comment. Just like fair. I'm not going to make any jokes about... your color or lack of it. We're all the same. We're all brothers.
It's the fluorescent lights, dude.
Yeah, oh my God. Like, seriously, I'm schwitzing.
So, it's Yiddish. It's pretty good.
Yes, thank you.
I'm going to try to balance out your Spanish with some Yiddish. 36.
Fuck yeah, you're younger than me. You have a lot to learn.
I am.
But you were doing it young. I mean, you had more success at a young... anyway, let's go back.
Yeah,
let's go back.
So going back... brother played the drums. I started playing drums probably around 6.
That's where I thought it from, because it's a musical family.
Yeah. And then I'd say real introduction to music that would later kind of influence what I do in audio karate and kind of musical approach was, if you're Mexican-American...
you love the Smiths.
You love the Smiths and Morrissey. Dude, it's fucking real shit. So right around... I was probably 10 when my brother's 4 years older or so.
And he still is, right?
Yeah, I think so. He looks like he's aging at a faster rate, though. I still look pretty good.
Yeah, you look great. Like, you don't look a day older than 35. Thanks, like, when buddy. I first saw you, I was like, this guy can run for president. Guy.
That's it. I'd be fucked.
I'd vote for you.
No, you wouldn't. You'd
over
lose.
The current? Yeah, I don't even
Yeah,
know
I'd
you.
Vote for
I'm
me,
good.
Too.
I'm voting for you.
So, Morrissey and the Smiths and Johnny Marr's just the fucking best,
I man. Saw him play with Modest Mouse.
Fuck. I saw him at the Glass House. I don't know if you've ever made out to Pomona.
Of course, dude, I live in LA and I work in music. Glass Houses, I just was at a show there. I saw Escape the Fate there. And I love that strip of Pomona.
So Johnny Marr was there a year ago. And
Johnny Marr's the shit.
Fuck me, he's not the best, dude. Truly. I mean,
he uses such unorthodox chords and he's so crisp.
The unorthodox, it's making what sound like simple melodies deceptively difficult to play. And I'll touch back on that. But that and the Pixies. So my brother had a teacher in high school who...
I had a girl who used to play in the Pixies on the show. Kim Shattuck, who was in the Muffs. She was on the show. Yeah, I know. Pixies...
the best.
I mean, they just did a tour with Weezer. How cool is that?
Fucking love them.
And I'm winning your favor now by preaching to the choir. I like this. By the end of the show, you're either going to like or not. Anyway, so Pixies. So is like, did you find your mind learning how to play that? Or did you still ask where it was?
I still don't know how to play that. I'm not good. So I don't try to play songs. I can play probably 2 or 3 songs by other people.
Okay.
Zero desire in doing it. Always just wanted to write songs.
So not sheet music. You just went your own route?
Correct. Okay. And even when Audio Karate was like, hey, let's do covers. I think the only cover we've ever done is Hope by Descendants.
Yeah, I love that song.
And we got to play with Bill Stevenson.
I know. And
I know.
You recorded with him and you just...
Man, we're fucking assholes, right?
No, I mean, fuck you. But no. But in general, just growing up, like, I mean, Everything Sucks, that album changed my life. And then I got into their older catalog. I mean, better late than never, right?
The best.
They're so good. And still they actually play their parts and they can actually play. They're not just a studio magic band.
No, they're beyond good. In fact, they're way better than Descendants lets on. Bill's like a full-on classically trained fucking jazz drummer. And
respect. Pound and Black pound. Flag.
Yeah, I mean, what more creds do you need? It's like, how punk... I was in fucking Black Flag. End of discussion. Get out of here. Like, the most punk rock guy you'll ever meet. So...
And the reason why, you know, like, Rise Against is still relevant. It's insane. They've done such good work, and they worked with you, so I guess this is my fanboy moment on that. But, so you... Tell me about, I guess, the first time you play with people, because you grew up in a musical family, which I yes. did not. So I'm jelly of that, as well as hope for a coffee mug.
So Gabriel, Audio Karate's drummer, is my first cousin.
And so, not your brother, correct?
And not my brother.
Okay, so I fucked that up.
Mom and Dad would have some explaining, or I suppose Mom would.
Dude, one of my buddies just told me that he just found out that he has a sister. Because his father, when he was 18...
It happens.
I know, but can you imagine? Your whole world is fucking rocked.
I can. I can imagine, and I actually can relate. It's not so bad. I took it pretty well, anyway.
Wait, whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, did I just go there? Is this like Sally, yeah. Jesse, Raphael?
No, but like, I mean, I would say this. I think people get really hung up on like, hey, my whole life is a lie. Is it really?
That's a good point. Maybe not that your life is a lie, but... Holy shit, this is a new chapter.
Truly.
I mean, there are two ways. I mean, that's like half glass full, half glass
empty. I think there's two camps. The people who are like, hey, I want this relationship with this sister or brother I never had. Or like, okay, my dad was a sperm donor for you at some point. Now, 30 years later, I have no desire to have a relationship with you.
Which, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's totally cool. But so
second half of this, we're going to talk about substantive wiretap and Audio Karate. But the best part about this, in addition to sounding amazing, looking at these sound waves, is that it's a free-flowing dialogue. Because like before you got here, and I love that you listened to the shows. Just shout out to you for being prepped. But you're like, I want to talk about this. I'm like, we'll just talk about it. We'll just talk. I'm doing my Yiddish hand right now. Like, we'll just do it. And you're killing it. So I want to hear about, I guess... Because you didn't learn other people's songs for the most part.
No.
But you had the creative drive to compose?
It was two basses. It was Justo on bass and myself on bass, because we both had bass guitars, couldn't afford a six string, and Gabriel playing my brother's drums. And we were 12 and jamming in...
What city was this?
Rosemead.
Okay.
So
yeah, you guys have Rosemead pride, correct?
Yeah, and Rosemead is nowhere Los Angeles County. It's 25 miles east of downtown LA. Population
on
now
the way to Pomona, right?
It's probably about 80,000. Overwhelmingly Asian immigrants now, but at the time it was about a good 50-50 split.
Is that San Gabriel Valley?
Yeah, it's a San Gabriel Valley.
Because there's a ginormous Asian
population. Chinatown, really.
Well, the best Chinese food I've had in California was in SGV, without a shred of doubt. And people don't know that, and... Jonathan Gold showed me that.
Yes.
Fist bump.
I was going to refer to that. See, I already knew it to be true because I'm from there. But
I didn't. I'm a white Jew from New York, where we say Chinese food is better than pretty much everywhere. But I would say like SGV holds up. And,
oh, fuck yeah.
And West Covina, I learned, is like Little Manila. So there's a ginormous Asian and obviously Mexican population there.
Big ups. Jollibee for my
Pinoy. Jollibee, the spam.
Pinoy people. But yeah, we started jamming and
you started spamming.
Justo's influence, super like 70s, 80s heavy metal. His brother's ridiculous guitar players, been in bands all their lives. So he always had access to gear. But when you're 10, 11, 12, your brothers are like, yeah, you touch my vintage Strat, I'll fucking murder you. So we were always playing hand-me-down gear.
Squire.
At some point I got a Squire, my first guitar, and they went to junior high school with Art. So I was kind of an adopted Rosemead kind of tag along, and those dudes started playing backyards.
But you were the little brother. I mean, you. I wish that I had an older brother show me what was up. I had to find out on my own.
Oh, I fucking scored.
And yeah, that's that. You had someone. Now it's the Spotify playlist, but you had someone giving you verbal cues of what's good and not.
We got a cassette tape. And it had Descendants, Agent Orange, Adolescence, all your good old California punk bands. And I was already into Misfits at the time, but that was it. I was like, well, fuck it. We're just going to be skater dudes, and we're going to be punk rockers, and we're going to, you know, fucking drink 40s in backyards. And we, in retrospect, it was horrible behavior, but it was very formative. I mean, the guys started playing backyard gigs in El Monte, which is a scary place. I don't, you know... for anyone who's not inside of California, all the pictures of like Mexican gangsters you see with tattoos on their faces.
That's East LA though, right? Or is that?
Omani San Gabriel Valley.
Okay.
But it's a stone's throw. It's same kind of general thing. But I remember being like 14 and seeing a kid get stabbed by some gangsters because it's basically like, hey, you guys are having a punk kind of backyard gig. You didn't get permission from the local gang. This is our neighborhood. And they stabbed the dude.
This is their turf. And
yes.
That's like answering to the Don.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my God. Wait. Was this in broad daylight? Or was it a night show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was fucked up. But there were skinheads, like sharps. But they were like co-opted gangster dudes who decided they were into punk. It was an odd scene. But I think
of the California punk scene as extremely violent. Like the New York punk scene wasn't as crazy. But like at Black Flag, have you ever read Get in the Van?
Yes.
Like he would literally get into fights while playing.
Yeah.
What the fuck's up with that?
I don't know, man. It's a California thing.
It's the hot air and the lack of brain cells. Like
it's a Southern California thing, actually.
Yeah.
They're cool up north.
I know. When a Giants fan goes to a Dodgers fucking game, like.
I hate Dodgers games.
I mean, I hate senseless violence. So.
Hence, I hate Dodgers games.
Yeah.
But the guys came from that and started writing good songs and hanging out with, you know, guys damn near my age now.
So how much older are they than you?
1 year.
Oh, so, but you know, when you're like 11 and 12,
oh, that's everything. Yeah. Oh, dude, they're sophomores and you're a freshman. Like, go fuck off.
They'll throw a kickball on your head. And then kick it.
Once Art joined the band, Art's I'll say it. Because he's my friend, amazing songwriter, great fucking singer. Kid has pipes on him like you wouldn't fucking believe. And I try to do the Johnny Marr thing. I always have. I think the measure of a good riff in my book is how easily could someone pick up a guitar and replicate it. Okay. So I go to great lengths to play some stupid shit where it's like, that almost sounds like it, but no, that's fucking wrong.
That's my measure of a good song, by the way, is like if you can go to a campfire without fucking laptop, without anything, and you can bust it out the same way you can full band. Like my theory is that Hey Jude or Hey There Delilah, like those songs are so timeless they can come out in any decade and they would have been as big as they are now. That's to me that. So it's interesting because you didn't really try to emulate yourself because you didn't really like, I mean, it's a combination of very creatively fulfilling and very narcissistic, but it's awesome. Because for me, as a guitar player, like I was just like, I want to learn how to play Nirvana. I want to learn how to play Weezer. I want to learn how to play Green Day. And now when I write a song, which I don't do as often, it ends up kind of having that influence. But you were just like, I like this shit, but I want to be me. Is that a good synopsis?
Perfect.
Thank you. So I'm doing okay in the first half.
Fucking gorgeous.
I'm so nervous.
Couldn't be. Stop. Couldn't be bothered with it, though. And on that same note, couldn't write an entire song to save my life. So Art is very good at like, oh, there's some Discord-y weird shit Jason's playing.
Discord Records?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, okay. I just rewatched Salad Days. Yeah, I mean, guess what my favorite Discord band is? You might not be able to.
Minor Threat?
Nope, but I like them.
Fugazi?
No, it's The Makeup.
Don't know.
Oh, dude, they're weird as fuck. But I'd say Minor Threat's a close. I like Jawbox. I like that 90s shit. I mean, we're like the same age, so we could bromance more. So let's just wrap up segment one and then we'll discuss, you know, why Art is the greatest of all time at everything.
Oh, he's fucking sick.
And then we could talk about, I guess, the start of Audio Karate. And I don't know if you realize this, but like in the word karate, you know, you could have art in it. Like if you unscramble it.
I suppose you could.
I just came up with that. Yeah, you're laughing like, holy shit, like that's a stupid ass fucking dad joke or that changed my life or I will forget it immediately. So
Mind blown.
So I guess give an adjective to describe segment one and then we will take a short break. Everyone listening will hear some badass songs. We'll hear some badass ads and just yell the word badass repeatedly. What adjective would you give?
Insightful.
Ooh. I like it. I'm smiling. Uh-huh. I would say flattered.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Stick around for Mr. Yeah.
Sorry.
I have an English. No, it's okay. I mean, I would love it. The adjective I would do is computer. Is that adjective? No. That's not adjective. Shut the fuck up and stick around. So a Jew and a Mexican walk into a therapist's office.
Heyo.
Heyo.
Burritos and latkes.
Ooh.
Dude, that's some
enchilaca.
That's some fusion shit right there.
Jews and shit. There's a place in Vegas, and they just built it, actually. I know you're now you're like already dreading this interview, but like there's a place in Vegas called Chino Poblano, which is kind of like the SGV, which is Asian Mexican fusion.
Yeah.
And holy shit, I went there for my bachelor party. I was astonished.
To say the least, right?
To say the most. So anyway, so tell me about, I guess, was Audio Karate your very first band?
First and only, and I'd have zero desire to ever play in any other band.
I mean, I didn't ask you that, okay? But no, I appreciate that.
That's the follow-up
and
long answer.
That's fucking awesome, dude. My first band was called Eat My Pie in eighth grade, and I never have a desire to play in that band again.
That's a good name, although I don't think it'd fly nowadays.
Nothing flies nowadays.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like...
Audio Karate's safe.
Audio Karate's fine, but someone's be like, yo, man, like, I can't hear in the martial arts.
Yeah, it's not inclusive to... No.
I literally, like, could say, like, yo, I just saw Red, which you would be like, yeah, you're angry. And be like, someone be like, you're disenfranchising Native Americans. I'm like, no, you're searching for this.
You're projecting that onto my world.
I wrote a tweet, and then we'll get to you, that I was proud of yesterday. I'm going to read it to you because I think people are getting way too offended. And maybe this will offend someone listening, and if so, sorry. This is not a political post. Every day it seems that more young adults are striving to take things out of context, get offended, and lament for the sake of lamenting. This mindset is permeating into a reflex for many adults, too. It's a tricky time and unproductive for social growth. All right, so tell me about Audio Karate.
Yeah, so Audio Karate, my only band, we started going by Audio Karate right around 2001. We met Joe Escalante.
Vandal.
Vandals, owner of Kung Fu Record, lawyer, writer.
Hollywood potato chip.
Mentor and hero, truly. Fucking guys, unreal.
Great bass player, too. Underrated.
No, not a good bass player.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Live.
He gets to play with Josh Freese. He could fucking shit on his bass, and he's playing with the best drummer,
the best drummer
on the earth, who we've also played with. What?
I just want to tell you, Josh Freese, I said this in the intro when you weren't here. He's the best live drummer I've ever seen. I was watching Devo about the same distance from each other that we are now, and I couldn't even watch Devo. He's a human click track.
Real quick, because we've done about 100 shows with Vandals and...
100?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I want to go to the Hawaii. Well, I'm going to Hawaii
Christmas
next
show.
Week.
You
I want
go.
To go. I want to.
Can you go to a Christmas show?
Yeah, Jews legally can't because we killed Jesus. No, of course I can go to that. Like, I'm fucking agnostic.
Is that a safe? Can I make that Jewish joke?
That wasn't an offensive Jewish
joke.
Okay,
cool.
If you were like, if you brought it to like Holocaust territory, then we'd have words. But yeah, no, I want to go to that show. I've never been to a Vandals Christmas show. And I like celebrating the birth of baby Jesus.
Sold out show in London. Gabriel couldn't make it to the show. Josh is playing with Vandals. And we tell Joe, hey, Joe, we don't have a fucking drummer. He says, okay, one night only. You can have Josh fill in tomorrow. You're on your fucking own. Fine. Tell Josh. He's like, bring me a notepad and your CD. Let me know what tracks you want to play. 20 minutes later, it's sound checked. He has his fucking shit tabbed out. Those songs have never sounded fucking better.
No offense to your drummer, but I mean, your drummer has
no offense
to
anyone.
He's like literally like in the studio, like he listens to a song and then just plays it better than
Art, the greatest singer ever, did a Chips Ahoy commercial that was written by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Oh, wow.
And Josh played drums on it. Josh shows up with drumsticks like fucking 5 minutes before. Play it once. Hey, there's a little hiccup on the 37th beat. Was that meant to be there? No, Josh. That was a mistake on the scratch track. Okay. Plays it twice. Walked out with a check. I was like, bye, Josh. You're the fucking best.
Guns N' Roses, Perfect Circle,
Sting,
Weezer,
Nine Inch Nails.
I mean, Audio Karate.
Good Charlotte. Take. Sorry.
How do you like that?
So he's on. No. He never played on our records. I wish.
I know, but he played with you, and he's never played with me.
He just plays
with my emotions.
So many records, he doesn't get credit.
Well,
on.
That's. I don't. Here's an industry trick, because the way that I treat the show is informative for some kid from Rosemead that wants to be in a band and is like, Mexicans don't do that, and you're a proof of concept. But. The thing is, where was I going? Because this is very important. I had a sick transition.
That band that you think's really good, boys and girls, it's probably Josh Freese and some other hired guns.
If he's thanked on a record but not credited as a drummer, they're not thanking him because they're influenced by him. They're thanking him because he fucking played the parts.
And they probably gave him a check for $10,000.
It's a good racket.
So
$10,000 an hour. It takes more time to set up the drums than to play them.
Pretty much. But I would say this, and I think this still happens organically. If you're trying to do the Spotify thing or any number of things, and I'm old, so I'm going to call it the Spotify thing.
It's fine.
We went to an Atari show. We were there to see the opener. I'd never even heard the Ataris. Art recognized Chris Rowe. He had a shitty copy of our demo in his pocket. Chris walks by. Hey, dude, can you listen to this? And kudos to Chris, because I've gotten hundreds of demos over the years. I've never done this. He gave it to Joe Escalani on a comp of like, hey, I get all these CDs on the road. Check some of these bands out. We get a call a month later from Joe. Hey, this is Joe.
I like your imitation of voices of anyone affiliated with the Vandals. Is that like your Caucasian voice?
No, so Joe's got a unique voice and unique delivery.
A cadence.
Yeah, total cadence, and I fucking love the guy for it. But he basically said, Chris Rowe, give me songs, and I like them, and I want to hear some more. So he came and heard us rehearse, and he watched us at Chain Reaction. We were fucking terrible.
And you were kids?
I was 18.
Wow.
Art didn't tell any of us. He was the only one who knew because he figured we'd freak out and suck. He left before the end of the set, and Art thought that was the end of it. About 2 weeks later, he's like, hey, I like it. Let me help you guys get some shows and help you guys do something. We'll do some demos. And cool time, because we were fortunate to be part of kind of Joe and Kung Fu really gave us credibility, I think, with some of the older guards. So we got to do like our demos at Fletcher from Pennywise's studios with Warren Fitzgerald at the helm.
That's insane.
Weird shit like that. Hey, come over to my house. I'm having a New Year's party. And, oh, hey, it's Fat Mike and Viggo Mortensen.
My head is exploding right now.
No doubts there. I mean, not to be super name droppy, but
18, no, it's fine.
But like 18, yes, like, yeah, you are being name droppy.
No. I tell you, like, if it got out of fucking hand. But like, no, you're talking about your history and your career, and you're making me have little goosies.
It was just bitching, though. It's like, oh, hey, this is No Doubt. And I'm like, oh, hi, Adrian. Like, cool.
And they're your peers.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So we did
Pete
that.
Wentz, by the way, just shout out to him, because he actually took a City Drive demo and offered us a deal because of it too. That believe it or not, it happens. And nowadays, more advice section part two. If you really want to stand out, actually promote at shows now, because I never see people flyering anymore, ever.
Bring back the human component. It really does come down to the relationship. And I know in your podcast with Jazz, you talked about that, and it's true. It really is the managing of relationships.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that makes me happy.
Joe courted us, I guess, for lack of better words, for about 6 months.
And you had no representation. You were just kids,
none.
I assume.
No booking agent, no management. Gave us the contract, said, hey, 3-option record deal. And when I told Rob from Wiretap about this, I'm like, dude, you know how much we got to record Space Camp? He's like, I have no fucking clue. $20,000. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, all the records come to me finished, basically. There's no recording budget.
It's 2018. A lot of labels and the budget. I manage producers. The budgets are shrinking, and engineers are finding like they don't. You have to be a one-stop shop, like producer, mixer, songwriter, mess, everything.
Yeah.
Scary shit. But back then, there was more money to fly around.
There was,
because people were actually buying records.
I'm still from that dynamic. I was talking to someone who works with MXPX and Alk Trio and has some ties in, but. So I'm like, hey, your brother's band, you know, they're like 100,000 band? He's like, 100,000 capacity venue? I'm like, no. Like, he's like, 1,000. I'm like, yeah. There's a dichotomy. I took 10 years off from music. I left in 06.
Well, let's go. We have time, but I want to talk a little bit more about Outcry, but make your point about MXPX.
But no, my point is...
And you said 06 was an important... That's probably why.
My paradigm from 02, 04 is if you sold 100,000 records, you were selling out the fucking House of Blues coast to coast. So I'm thinking Get Up Kids, Saves the Day, 100,000 record plus pop punk, emo bands.
Newfound Glory, Jimmy.
Nowadays, it's measured... No one sells fucking records. It's measured on... They could sell out 1,000 cap rooms coast to coast, and that's the level of the band. So I'm thinking Bayside, Menzingers, those dudes. I come from the fucking record sale era, you know?
Me too.
Where 20, 30, 40, they're going to give us 100. Kung Fu is going to give us $100,000 to do record number 4. That was the option. I mean, who the fuck's going to give us $100,000? I wouldn't even want $100,000 now. I'd go do it for $5,000.
You'd be in debt?
Yeah, I'd do it for $5,000 with Mike Jimenez from... You know, Rufio, Modern right? Fuzz, Rufio, our
See?
Boy. Yeah.
I saw Rufio first of 4. It was Rufio, Autopilot Off, who used to be Cooter, Sugar Cult, and Ataris. I saw that show.
Fucking awesome.
What a show, right?
Truly what a show. Rufio, what a fucking band.
A talented guitar band.
Not as good as Audio Karate on guitar. Yeah, Clark and Scott.
I like that you shit on everyone. That's fine. If they're listening, I guess, fuck you.
Their first show ever was with Audio Karate.
Aww.
Oh, cute, right?
Cute is what we aim for. So anyway, yeah. I want to talk about an up and a down to your career prior to 06, because believe it or not, we're more than halfway done with the second half.
Shit.
I know. Time flies when you're miserable.
Okay. No management, no booking agent up until way towards the
Joe
after
kind
Lady
of
Melody.
Had that role, I assume.
I did.
Oh, okay. And you were the me of the band.
The black flag kind of, hey, fucking
can you not
do
make
yourself
this a race
thing?
Can you, like, why is color important? Why is the
Because they're not called white flag.
I mean, might as well surrender.
That do-it-yourself kind of thing, though.
Punk rock.
Yeah, punk rock. And nowadays, in slim margins, kids, if you're in a band, don't farm that shit out to anyone.
What do you mean by that?
Fucking 10% of this for that, 10% for that.
You're saying this to a manager. I love this. I want to hear your point, though.
Wait
till you're an established entity before.
Wait, yeah. And wait till you're really fucking good. And wait till you even know what you need a manager for. Someone to fill in those blanks of, hey, I've done everything I can. I just can't get us into this next kind of level. You could get pretty far depending on what you've got.
You can go astronomically far. What's crazy is because people ask me a lot, like, when should I get a manager? And what I say is, like, when they come to you.
Truly.
When they, like, honestly, don't court that.
Yeah.
Because be a proven brand beforehand.
And they never came to us, and we had 4 international tours, sold 25,000 copies of the first record. You know, we're headlining national shows. Granted, no
I knew
one
your
was
band.
Coming. Yeah, you knew our band. No one ever came to us. And even had they done it, at that point, I would have been very skeptical of, so what, you're going to make a Saves the Day tomorrow? How? We're not going to write any different songs. We look the way we look. Alternative press won't want us on the cover. We're fucking normal Mexican kids.
Pierce the veil. I need you to check that out because that they, I guess, I don't know, because right now we're in a market where movies like Crazy Rich Asians do well and, you know, the Latin market is blowing up. Maybe you guys were just the wrong time.
I want to go to Universal Latino and say, hey.
I love that accent.
Yeah, Latino, right?
Yeah, I'm learning from you.
And say, hey, one of the best fucking pop punk bands of all time, Audio Karate, which if you don't
have... I love how modest you are.
If you don't have that kind of belief in your band, and I know you know this...
Yeah, of course.
Then
who
why
else
the
is
fuck
gonna
are you
in?
Doing it? At some point, I'd say right around the time we recorded Lady Melody, it really dawned on me like, hey, all these bands I look up to, I think we're doing as well or better than them. And if you're not, then you're not on that level. Doing that record, you asked for the high point... Doing Lady Melody with Bill Stevenson was fucking it.
I'm not worthy.
And total fan. And when he was asking me, how do you guys play that? And what the fuck? Where did you get these songs? Where did you get Hey Maria? Where did you get Jesus Live and Wall and Living in Mexico? I'm like, okay, this is good. It sold less in Space Camp. It critically was what it was. But that fucking record holds up. And, I mean, Descendants still have us come out and play shows with them now.
It's amazing. And yeah. they don't play shows
And they're fans
ever.
Now. And Bill's gone on the record saying one of his favorite records he's ever done at the Blast Room, and he's done 500. He's done everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is that record. That shit's huge.
He doesn't have to take you on there. He could take whoever the fuck he wants on the tour.
Low point was we did about 300 dates in 2004, and the world didn't change. And we didn't become My Chemical Romance. We weren't...
Or Fall Out Boy or Rejects. Like, that was that time.
You had talked about everyone going to Island. They had Thrice. They had Thursday. They had all that.
Killers, Fall Out Boy.
None of that came our way, and that's okay.
Sum 41.
Yeah, and we kind of, I don't know, I hit Quarter Life Crisis around that time and realized, well, fuck, what more can we do? I think we wrote an incredible record in Lady Melody, and it still stands up. It doesn't sound dated. I think a lot of shit sounds really hokey from 02 to 06. You know, if you got the...
No.
The alternative press hair and the white belt. And
the flat iron.
The lip ring, the stupid shit like that. I basically still dress the same way I did then. That was kind of the low point, and that was
And
enough,
you were getting older.
And that was enough for me. I'm like, fuck this. I don't want a tour. And
so why 06, though? Why did you bring that year up?
06, we recorded 13 songs. I built a studio, and our new release... It was in Montebello.
Okay.
Just south of Rosemead. A little more Mexican, though.
Okay.
And some Armenians. But,
that's Glendale.
That was right when people started recording kind of their own records, and we recorded it. And
well, Bill Stevenson. He recorded his own records.
That's true.
Yeah.
But he's the best.
Right, but he had to start somewhere.
He has a half a million dollar SSL board.
I mean, he also has plaques.
Like, yeah, I had Pro Tools LE. We recorded it, and we were going to shop it around, and we were courting a manager at the time, and then he didn't want to be our manager. And I was like, eh, fuck all this. I'm going to go get a job. I could get a normal job and make more than I can from this.
And you're not on the road 300 days a year.
This is true. And my back was hurting. And
well, yeah, my back hurts now. I mean, just the thing is, it's a young man's game. I mean, the older you are, the more obligations you have, and also the more fucks you give. When you're younger, you're just like, fuck it. I'll sleep on this ratty-ass roach floor. You'll do it. You're smiling. I like when you smile. Totally.
Those are the best times. Best Those of are times, good times, the worst of times.
So I guess, so then you just stopped, and then over a decade after 2006.
Thanks to Rob.
Truly. Can you pronounce his last name one more time?
Rob Castellón.
Castellón.
He hit up Kung Fu about doing the Space Camp reissue. How much time we got?
I could condense this. I won't tell you because then you're going to be scared. Kind of like you would have been at the Chain Reaction show had you known.
I was drunk at the Chain Reaction show. So
I mean, that they actually sell alcohol now. I don't get scared.
Someone told me that. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it took a while.
Kids should be drinking in their... No, kids, you shouldn't be drinking in the parking lot. That's really, really bad. That's cool.
I can tell you that parking lot smells like PBR.
It does. And that's, not spilled PBR. It's from the P. So Rob hit up Kung Fu Records. Ayo. Got the license for Space Camp and then hit us up. I hadn't really talked to the guys in about a decade. No bad blood.
Even your cousin?
Just really had. Yeah, even my cousin. I mean, here and there, family stuff.
I mean, when you're in a band, dude, you're married to someone
exactly.
You work with.
And I got them passports, and I really was the guy who, hey, at this time, on this date, I'll be in front of your house. Just get in the fucking van. Don't worry about a thing.
You were the TM.
Yeah, and every band should have that.
You should, but it also, you're going to have a way less of a long life because truly, of the stress.
It burns you. But they said, hey, one of the contingencies upon doing it is Rob would like us to do some shows to promote it. Like, yeah, fuck yeah. I guess I could learn to play guitar again. I didn't play guitar in 10 years. Did that. Threw it out to Bill. Hey, if Descend is doing anything, Audio Karate's kind of back, if you will, and I'm doing the quotation things. Oh, yeah, we're doing a national tour. Pick the dates you want. So we got to do 7 dates with them, and it's amazing now.
With normal jobs.
And here's the thing about social media. If you have reach and you have a name, is I was just reaching out to people, booking agents, people in bands that I thought were way bigger than ours. They're like, oh, dude, I fucking love you guys. Where you been for 10 years? Yeah, fuck, well, let's do this. Or, hey, let me put you in touch with this person. So I feel right now we've got a booking agent.
What agent?
We have Ryan at the Atomic Music Group. Mm-hmm. We've got Bomb Pops and some other really super awesome bands.
Bomb Pops with an exclamation point.
Yeah.
I keep up with the Kardashians.
And, Dominic from Cold Cuts Merch, who does Bayside and a million fucking bands and designs way better shit.
I'd love to see you with Bayside. That would make sense to me. I'm a Long Island boy, so I love Bayside.
Are we like the L.A. Bayside? Someone said we were the West Coast Movie Life.
I mean, that's another Long Island band.
I don't know, though.
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
I think you're more SoCal than that, and I would definitely not lump them into the SoCal stuff.
No, though, that like the functional equivalent. Like, we are to SoCal as they are to Long Island. Like,
While you're talking, I'm going to come up with an analogy for this.
Fair enough. But no, we've been really fortunate now in that some of those things, I guess we get to reap a lot of what we sowed for being just a working class kind of pop punk band. We never got the fucking flat iron
Bouncing
hair
souls.
Or the lip rings.
That's what I see.
Something like that. But those dudes are a little gnarlier.
Gnarly as in like they fell off their skateboards? You're so rad. Anyway.
Not that they're not nice guys, but we look more like nice boys. Yeah.
You don't look very nice. Anyways. Yeah, they look more manly. They look maybe they're your parents.
I wouldn't mess with the Souls. I'd pick a fight with like 20 other bands before I'd pick a fight with the Souls. Not that I should pick a fight with them.
Yeah, you should never do that, but Avenged Sevenfold, don't fuck with them.
Really nice guys. I remember Warped 03. They had a fucking full bench press and like Olympic weightlifting set. And
that's
their
they don't drink on tour.
Lift every day.
Those guys look like a football team.
They're about it.
So I guess you just re-released Space Camp, which I have in my vinyl, and you just put out new music. So let's wrap this up by talking about that, and I guess tell anyone how they can contact you or get a hold of Audio Karate.
All right, yeah. So we just re-released Space Camp. There's still some vinyl of that floating around, and it's at all the digital outlets, which I had to learn what those are. And we just did a self-titled 7-inch EP. Those songs were written and recorded in 2006, and yet somehow people are still like, hey, it sounds ahead of its time. I'm like, well, it's been fucking 12 years. Is it its time now? That was put out through Wiretap Records, and we're doing our own Lady Melody Studio kind of imprint thing, because I guess that's what everyone does. You have a band, you have your own label, so you can put your shit out. We have 11 additional songs, so we'll have a new full-length LP out next year.
You guys are pretty active.
Yeah, and it's fucked up, but it's really good, because we wrote it without a record deal, and we didn't give a fuck. So the songs are good. We like them. If no one else does, fuck it. And I'd say my advice to younger bands and people in the industry is just do
write for yourself.
You, man. Write for yourself. Do it for yourself. Everyone that you love and you may be trying to emulate, that's how they did it. Mm-hmm. And I would go way deep to the source. Find out who you're into. Find out who they're into and go there, so it's not distilled down, distilled.
I think if you're chasing a trend, and then we'll cut this off, you're always going to be late, because that shit has been packaged for months before it came out. So just chase good songs and truth, because kids could spot a fucking fake in a second.
Yes, and you can go to The Audio Karate on Twitter, www.audiokarateisback.com. Although I don't think you need a website anymore. And our Instagram.
We could go right to like a Spotify link or Bandcamp or whatever.
Yeah, those are all just straight Audio Karate. But we're pretty active on those. We will be at the House of Blues
on the 22nd of December
with the Vandals.
I really want to go to that.
You should go.
I know a guy.
It'll be fun. But we'll be doing more shows next year. And people have asked, we'll never get back in the van and do like national tours and shit like that. It's not going to happen.
Well, your back hurts.
Our back hurts. But we'll fly out for weekends and it'll be fun.
I mean, honestly, like, that seems like a great approach, because you're still, like, obviously when you're a direct support band for even the Descendants, you're not going to come home with that much money anyway. It's just for fun.
I would say that too. Don't do it because you're going to think money, you know.
You won't.
No. I mean, we're a band who has, I guess, a name.
No, you have, you're definitely, like, it made sense to have you on this because of that name that's very violent to the ears. So I guess I'm just going to look at the next few guests. I gave two a shout out. I'm actually recording two next week because I'm going to Hawaii the following week. But by the time this airs, lucky. It'll be November. I know I'm a lucky guy, but I deserve, you make your own fucking luck. So let's just even say that actually in between like recording this intro and now, one of those episodes got moved. So let's just give Tim Dove a shout out from Ernie Ball. He's a good guy. He works with strings, sponsorships, and every single Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time, the show Walden's Words airs Sunday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. Pacific, when Jason is waking up attacking podcasts by the minute. And also at 8 o'clock Eastern time, you can go on adobe.com, stream every episode. For example, Jason streamed the Jazz Valencia episode prior to coming here. And you can go on iTunes podcast app. It is free. Subscribe. Again, shout outs to Rob. You're the man. Shout out to Mike Cubillos. We love you. Shout out to Audio Karate. Sad face to Emily Burke. And Jason, thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott.
I'm going to hit stop.